What an intro. Loving it. Welcome to Patriot Power Hour with a second episode here on the Patriot Broadcasting Network. A new show? Well, an old name for a new show, Patriot Power Hour. And again, Patriot Broadcasting Network, looking for...
We had a blowout, paper three.
Blowout, but we recovered, man. Perseverance is the American way. How you doing, man?
Good. I'm enjoying the lead up to what seems to be a relatively low intensity news cycle for the Thanksgiving holidays.
That's what it seems like so far. Who knows if it's going to stay that way. But we are live on this November 22nd, 2017 episode, Thanksgiving Eve. And like you said, it's kind of a quiet news cycle. Now, we'll get into some of these recent allegations against different politicians and celebrities. But what is that covering up, if anything, number one? And number two, it does seem quiet, but... things can turn on a dime any second now, so gotta stay vigilant, people. Gotta stay vigilant, don't you think?
You always do. But I every once in a while we get on FutureDanger.com, multiple indicators simultaneously from different angles, in terms of our relationship with the government and the government being revealed doing things that are threatening. International and national security issues. When I say national security, domestic security, from riots and violent protests and all the economic news, which is your forte, of course, and then the natural world, they'll all collide simultaneously. It's hard to keep track of everything. Then you get periods like this where, popular culture, in the long scheme of things, fairly, positive developments. I mean, if there's people that are predators out there, them being revealed is actually a good thing. So
yeah,
it ebbs and flows.
Definitely. And like you hit the nail on the head right there. When you just gotta look like, hey, I'll take what we can get. I'll take these guys getting busted, getting outed for being pervs and for harassing their worse. I want the real criminals to get unearthed and brought to justice, but I'll take this as a silver lining. But we can't also, on the flip side, we also can't get complacent. We're like, well, at least we got some of them. We don't need to keep trying to get the rest of them, especially the pedophiles and those, the Clintons and friends, that level is what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Those pedophile allegations were bubbling up in Hollywood with Feldman, starting to point fingers. And then that thing kind of just suddenly was absorbed by the straight on, women accusing powerful men of sexual abuse. And it's absolutely absorbed the media and the names and the figures that are going down. You got the candidate in Alabama for senator, of course, is in the crosshairs. But then, senator from Minnesota with the photograph and all these, media personalities, names that are getting fired that you never dreamed. Like, there's people who'll never be on the TV again that suddenly.
Yeah. Charlie Rose, that's crazy, for example.
Talk about a deep state shill.
I know, right? So, I love that he got his comeuppance, but he's probably just taking flack for his bosses, you know what I mean? So he's just a human shield for the higher-ups.
Yeah, well, a distraction, it kind of shows you if you're inclined to think that these things are orchestrated, or when certain things like pedophile rings start to have the curtain drawn back, suddenly massive distractions on things that people will believe and care about, like, you got half the population is generally pretty open to hearing about men in power abusing women, then, look what we're not talking about anymore.
It's Exactly. We're so into celebrities and the big names that it also kind of like hooks the American public's. But if you think about it, think of all the big scandals and but even the real big events that have occurred in the past couple months. Most of them have been buried now. Even just the Vegas shooting as an example. I didn't get too deep into it. Maybe you did. I was going to stay back and wait for the dust to settle, which is probably about now, and really research what happened there. But I do know it seemed like there were many inconsistencies, weird stuff going on. But no one's talking about that anymore. Not even the Democrats or gun grabbers in general are talking about the Vegas shooting anymore, which that's interesting right there.
Totally. The incident happened. It was grotesque. Then all kinds of confusion was out there. That Vegas guard vanishes. Mainstream media is actually coming out with cover-up questions emerging. The media on the right, mainstream, conservative voices are. They're kind of edging into the zone of, hey, this is strange. And those people are loath to even use the word conspiracy. And some of those voices were, interesting. Sean Hannity on Fox News was going to have that Vegas guard on, and boom, he disappears. The fact that that happened and it's all dead silence now tells me that if it is a setup, if it was a false flag, or if other parties participated, then somewhere in behind the scenes, people are at odds and leveraging against each other.
Well, I hate to move forward from that, but I guess you always got to be worried about the next war or the next false flag, not the past one. Not to say we shouldn't research these ones. What I'm thinking is, I think Thanksgiving or possibly Christmas, New Year's, something like that would be a perfect opportunity for another one of these events, whether it's a mall shooting or something similar, or geez, the big one, a dirty bomb, in Times Square. Or this, that, and other thing. I don't know. Hopefully it doesn't happen. But with all these other macro issues spinning out of control, whether it's on the financial side, whether it's geopolitically, they need more distractions. They need to keep ramping it up. And I feel as if we've been extremely lucky that we haven't had even more terror attacks since 9/11 here on American soil. But that doesn't mean can't be expecting more to come down the pike because it definitely seems like these are accelerating. And of course, one could say that they probably peaked during Obama's presidency, but they certainly haven't slowed down from what it seems to me.
I, as the editor of FutureDanger.com, we launched in October 2015, and I can tell you that since the new presidency, the types of news, some of it's bizarre. The judicial system under strain, the FBI's credibility in everything, Russiagate and all that election business where Comey was involved, is an entirely new set of dismaying pieces of news. But there's a large amount of things, especially on the Liberty front, Ben, where you're just not seeing new precedences of the government encroaching upon the people's power, and so it's really been slowed down, at least on that facet. I can firsthand evidence on Future Danger. I can tell you that we're seeing a lot less of that. The states always have an opportunity to pass unconstitutional stuff, but very little on the federal level. So that's a good thing in 2017, I'd say.
That is. Now, I kind of want to parlay that. We're going to go to break here in a few minutes. But I want to parlay that into something I haven't done much research on lately, and still I'm kind of confused about. But it sounds like it's coming up, and it is a federal issue, and it's a net neutrality next week, I believe. They're going to consider voting on it. I don't know. Have you looked into this yet? I know on Thanksgiving, during Thanksgiving weekend, I spent a lot of time reading and researching, so won't lie. I'm going to have to get caught up on some of these topics. But I know that I saw something the next week is net neutrality. And speaking of liberty and our rights getting taken away, when they do that electronically through the internet, et cetera, that's the new frontier where they're really squeezing us and really putting us in a rat's cage. So, you know much about this net neutrality bill next week?
It's one of these amazing things that we see where you get forces colliding where there's no good answer. If the corporations, the oligopolistic telecoms are squeezing content and acting in collusion and making it hard for all voices to be heard, that's the rationale for the government to get involved, right? And then piggybacking right in behind that is the forces that are going to exploit that to start clamping down on voices that they don't want heard or heard as easily. So you got these two things going on where there's innocent, naive people that would say, yeah, you know, we should actually prevent these corporations from operating that way. But the poison pill coming in behind is with the other hand, you know, a website like futuredanger.com or anybody, Dethrone the Bankers, anybody has a dissenting voice could find themselves in the crosshair of government power.
Exactly. And that's one of the fundamental things that I believe. I believe you are also on the same page and kind of one of the tenets, I suppose, of Patriot Broadcasting Network, Patriot Power Hour, is that we need to have less government for many reasons. But one of them is just because it's inefficient and wasteful. But you just hit, you know, you just nailed it with the other part that sucks about big government. It doesn't even work. And it's usually used by the mega corporations and the people, you know, the elite and super elite. The bigger the government, they actually use it against us. So not only do they try to convince the populace that we need all these regulations, all these controls, all these bureaus, et cetera, for regulation and to save us, and they charge us huge amounts and go into debt in our name and grandchildren's names to fund this. But it doesn't even really work. And in fact, most of the time, the mega corporations it was intended to stop or at least mitigate end up using that government bureau or bureaucracy in general against us. So it's like a double whammy, triple whammy. That's why we need more liberty. That's why we need less government interference. What do you have to say about that?
I'll tell you that, you know, if you step back and look at types of people, there's a lot of good people that are relatively naive, and they've been raised, or they just, you know, nature naturally produces a portion of any society's people that, you know, are inherently trusting of the government, that want a power over them, you know, a worldly power over them, and they're status. And they'll always be that way. And we have to realize that, you know, even the days of the independence of this country, those people were there. They were the loyalists. They were the Tories.
Right.
They fled to Canada, but they were part of our people at the time. We have a large amount of people like that right now, and the you know, the proverbial 3% know it very well, but it's. Not until you get a regime that is, you know, taking a bite out of everybody's rear end, that anybody wants to stand up. We don't have enough people that are awake to that.
Nope, not yet. And I mean, the good news is, at least personally, I feel like more people have woken up in the past 5, even 10 years, and those that maybe were a little bit awake, for lack of a better measuring stick, now they're a lot awake, or at least more awake than they were. And so I think, you know, I include myself in that camp as well. But that's what we're trying to do here on Patriot Power Hour and on Patriot Broadcasting Network and at FutureDanger.com and at Dethrone the Banksters, et cetera, is try to educate people. So bring them from, you know, 0 to 20%. But also those that are at 20%, try to get them some specialized knowledge and connections to go from 20% to 40%. So it's not just about collecting all the people who don't know anything or some of those people you got to give up on. Like you said, there were always loyalists. That was a very large percentage of the population, especially early. And some of those people you're never going to get above 0% in my little gauge. But some of them you can get to 20, and some of those that are 20 right now, you can get them to 50 or 60 or even further. So my point is, you just got to keep out there hustling, try to approach everybody with education in your mind, not trying to ram something down their throat, but try to talk about it. And I think it makes a big difference. So that's what we're going to be trying to do here on Patriot Broadcasting Network. Future Dan, we're going to go to commercial real quick, but I got something real fun for the next segment. Got some questions from listeners. It's last week gave out the email address. We only got two, unfortunately. Hopefully we can get a few more this week and start getting, dozens a week. Well, that's cool. I'll still take two for our first listener write-in. So we'll get to that on the other end of the break and look forward to that. All right, man, we'll be right back, everybody. Stick with us. Patriot Power Hour.
I see in Fight Club the strongest and smartest men who've ever lived. I see all this potential, and I see it squandered. God damn it, an entire generation pumping gas, waiting tables, the slaves with white collars. Advertising has us chasing cars and clothes, working jobs we hate so we can buy shit we don't need. The middle children of history, man. No purpose or place. We have no great war, no great depression. Our great war is a spiritual war. Our great depression is our lives. We've all been raised on time.
One of your hosts, Ben Cochran. Let me get my other man, the better host of this show. I'm a rank amateur at this rate. We're going to get it going. Future Dan, you there?
I am. Hey, Ben, you want to hear a Federal Open Market Committee joke?
You know it. That's right up my alley.
Yeah, here's a quote from their recent release.
Okay.
Listen carefully. In light of elevated asset valuations and low financial market volatility, several participants expressed concerns about a potential buildup of financial imbalances.
Ooh, wow. Some good, more Fed speak.
Fed speak says there's a massive bubble.
At the exact same time.
There's a massive bubble, and we told you.
Well, as you know, and we talked about this, I don't know if we talked about it last week, but we've talked about it, just you and I talking, but also on air. Several Fed governors are out. They left. They're retiring. They're getting out before this thing blows up.
Yeah, the vice president, was it Fisher? He retired earlier,
yep.
Not so long ago. Every single one of those is tracked as an indicator on future danger, Ben. Fed chair, senior officials at the Fed, anybody hitting the door, all those appointments have customary periods when people serve, and I watch very closely, just like I do with the senior generals. Whenever the four stars are leaving posts for bland reasons, but they're doing it before their time, you have to question behind the scenes what might be happening. Yeah, the Fed is it almost seems like the previous administration's crew is about ready to, shut the door behind them and let what happens happens.
I know, right? It's like, oh, there's a big stick of dynamite, whole pile of dynamite with the fuse going towards it. Well, that fuse is about gone. But as you said, they're just going to walk out the door. All this thing's about to blow. And, hey, in the end, maybe we'll write a book and have some speech, kind of a speech tour. They can go to all these Ivy League universities and talk about how really they knew this was a problem and they tried to fight it internally but just weren't able to. So you can purchase their book for $39.95 hard copy and make it happen and get on that speech tour and tell us how you knew about these imbalances and try to do everything to fix it. But unfortunately, the crash of 2018-2019 was just inevitable, and that's just, it just so happened that you're able to leave before that. I mean, that's what it seems like to me. I don't know. I'm being a little facetious. But no, man, things are going to blow. I got a bad feeling. But hey, at least it's Thanksgiving.
And there's a way to see it coming and be ready for it. And if, it's the proverb of the ant and the grasshopper. All those grasshoppers out there who didn't care to learn what the Federal Reserve is, let alone what federal open market operations are and how that works. If you don't know it, you can't see it coming.
Yeah, and I'm telling people it's not that complicated. It is complicated if you want it to be. You can get down deep into the weeds and the numbers and this and that. And I have a master's in finance, so I've done that, and it's not necessarily that fun, especially fixed income. It kind of sucks, actually. However, the underlying principles and just how it's a fraud, Ponzi scheme, it's actually much worse than a Ponzi scheme. That is just some common sense with some basic rudimentary math that literally an eighth grader could do. You can prove out how big of a fraud this is. So, not absolutely. You can learn about it, and that's what I'm here for. And you, future Dan and future Danger, don't just focus on banking and economics, finance. You got the whole gamut. So it's good to know we got people like you watching these top generals and things like that, keeping track of it. So we can kind of specialize in our information and attempt to share knowledge.
Hey, it's only news that becomes available for everybody. There's nothing that Future Danger's finding that isn't already out there. Just try to put it in context. Like if this little data point were to suddenly have other similar data points accumulating together, you're headed on a road for one particular bad thing. And when a number of those combine, that's what crises look like. And this is like the particles of that way out ahead of it massing. That's what we're trying to do. But on this show, it's always good to just pick a topic that's showing up and rip on it for a little bit. So what do you got?
Well, this is a perfect segue actually into our little bit for the day, I guess. Got a couple written in questions, and the first one is actually for you. Interesting username here, TWIZ, TWIZ33, one of our listeners out there, wrote up and said, Future Dan, where did you get the idea for Future Danger? Thanks, I've been listening to Break at the Banksters for a while and went to your show when I heard you as a guest on Ben's show. So been kind of on your site here and there, but where did you get the idea for it and maybe a little history of it?
And that was from TWIZ33. Hey, I want to say directly to TWIZ, thank you. I appreciate that. And I'll tell you, when I was just going about my life in 2007, doing what I do, and we're running into the it was 2008 when we were running into the presidential election. Suddenly the news is coming out with, Bear Stearns and all that already collapsed in the spring.
Right.
But, you know, I hear that the Republican and Democrat candidates for president were, you know, coming in from the trail, suspending campaigning, going to the Oval Office, and because of the financial crisis. And that really was like, wait a minute, what? That's happening? And later reports emerged that the Treasury Secretary and the Fed Chair had gone to the Oval Office on a weekend and told the president at the time, George W. Bush, that if we don't do something over the weekend, you know, this is maybe getting this a little bit off, but it's a matter of record that, you know, people reported, if we don't do something now, there won't be an economy on Monday. And how in the world
right.
do you go that rapidly from banks are failing and it's serious financial news to that, and then Congress passing TARP that fast? That
right.
woke me up. And I'd taken, you know, graduate level classes in economics, and I thought I understood things, but you know what? I did not. And that is only one of several types of indicators that I am chose at that time to educate myself on and start learning about. And that became a collection. It became a large collection, and I went ahead and went full bore and said to myself, what's everything that people prepare for? And for the preparedness community, there's, you know, wide range of things, natural, economic, you know, security, and just, you know, looking at a government that's growing tyrannical. And I said, you know what, if there was a dashboard, a heat map, where any given day you can come and look and see combinations of these things, that doesn't exist on the internet. That service isn't out there anywhere. So let's do it.
Hell yeah, man. It is extremely unique. And when I first saw Future Danger, I'm like, this is something I've never seen before, but it totally makes sense. Not only just the way you archive, but the color scheme, the heat map features, etc. Really cool stuff. So great, great answer to T-Wiz's question. Our other question came from Jack. That's just his name, Jack. He says, what indication do you think would really signal that it's going to be a World War III situation? So personally, I've always thought if the Korea incident blows up, or if Iran and Saudi Arabia and Israel all go to war, those are a couple of the huge boiling points, flash points, that if that actually shows up, or at least, especially just the build up to those, but if they actually cross that threshold, that's when there's no turn back. But what do you think?
Well, I'll list for you the types of wars that I track, and there are some that people pay a lot of attention to that I don't, and there's reason for that. The obvious two on this planet for the last, you know, 60 years and is war with China and war with Russia. You know, those are major peer competitors in terms of militaries, and there's no reason to think that we necessarily would win. We might stalemate in a holocaust, a nuclear holocaust, but there's no vision of winning a war like that. So anything that's leading in those two directions has to be an indicator we pay attention to. That would truly be world war. Then there's other ones like Korea. That would be a theater war, a conventional major theater war. But if again, China didn't become belligerent and Russia didn't choose to step in, we have long, as a nation, our military has understood exactly how to win that and how to actually liberate North Korea. The sacrifice in human life would be massive, but I don't think that necessarily becomes world war. The Israeli-Iranian war, if it were to emerge, could be contained among the two, but when Israel suffered massive blows, it would be really hard to stop this country from not, punishing Iran as well. And where that could lead is dangerous. Or Israel could actually probably thump Iran really, really bad and might not draw us in as deeply. So, it could go either way. The Sino-Taiwanese War, China invading Taiwan, it's on.
Ooh, okay. Yeah.
It's on the radar for decades that the People's Liberation Army might try that. And we have obligations to Taiwan, but, you know, whoever happens to be in the White House at the time may or may not choose to do it. So does that lead to war with China? I don't know. But do I watch to see if, you know, the short and medium range missiles are deploying on the southern side of China in a certain way that resembles what might be the type of strike that would lead off the proverbial million-man swim? Although that was a pejorative term for what the Chinese would have to have done in decades ago. They're probably rapidly getting to the point where, you know, they could do it quickly. India and Pakistan could go at it, and they're both nuclear powers. And the environmental results of that would be horrendous. Do you want to live inside for months at a time because the fallout has drifted around the world? We may not even end up fighting it, but I watched that type of war. Could that one start World War III? Not necessarily. China and Japan going at it. The Sunnis and the Shias, represented by the Saudis and the Iranians. You know, we watch those because, you know, every single one of them could draw in like the First World War sides that result in First World War. But then again, some could be contained. Maybe our leadership, you know, finally has the sense to perhaps, you know, not get us into that kind of combat, because it's you know, fundamentally not a national interest in the United States to, you know, sacrifice blood and treasure in those zones. But, you know, anything that has us going face to face on the world stage in arms clashing, like over the South China Sea with the Chinese, or in the Baltic with the Russians, has to be tracked.
Definitely.
Those would be the World War III scenarios
other
that we would be facing.
Thanks, Jack. Everybody else, we actually are about to run out of time. My console is not working, so we'll probably shut off any second now. We will be back live next week. Future Dan, have a great Thanksgiving. I'll talk to you next Wednesday.
You too, Ben.
All right, everyone, have a safe Thanksgiving. Thankful for everything we got, and keep fighting for it, too. Catch you guys later.
Right now, save 60% off absolutely everything at Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory at our biggest sale of the year. That's right, 60% off everything in stores and online. Save big with sweaters for adults from $14.99 at Gap Factory. And at Banana Republic Factory, doorbuster sweaters start at $19.99. Hurry, these prices won't last. Search our store locator for your nearest Gap Factory and Banana Republic Factory store, or shop us online.
Shop Kohl's Cyber Deals in-store and online this Saturday. Saturday is the last day to get more bang for your buck. $15 Kohl's cash for every $50 spent. Presents for them, Kohl's cash for you. Plus, take an extra 20% off. With an extra 20% off, cashmere sweaters are just $31.99. Sleepwear for the family is $7.99. And bedding sets are only $63.99. This Saturday at Kohl's. Select styles, 20% off, are valid November 25th through 29th with promo code DEALS20. See store or kohls.com for details.